This episode is brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back, with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Canby Mayor Brian Hodson on Wednesday excoriated Governor Kate Brown's new posture towards the coronavirus pandemic, particularly her plans to crack down on large gatherings over Thanksgiving, suggesting fines and even jail time may be in store for those who refuse to comply. Hodson called the idea a gross overreach and described her plans to force local agencies to assist enforcement a wasteful and egregious use of resources and poor judgment. The governor has asked neighbors to be pitted against neighbors during a crisis when we should be banding together as a community to get through this very challenging time, Hodson said, reading from a prepared statement. Who I have for Thanksgiving and how many people I have over is not for the government to know. Canby Police's approach to the new freeze measures will be compliant-driven, Hodson said, with a focus on education. Our officers will not be out driving around for homes with more cars parked in front of them than usual, he said. They will respond to complaints as an educational piece and an educational piece only. Hodson lamented the impact the new lockdown would have on restaurants, bars, gyms, and other restaurants, just as the holiday season was getting underway. Businesses that have not fully recovered from the last lockdown are now once again being out in a position of laying off people, he said, further putting their livelihoods at risk and maybe even losing their businesses forever. Hodson is far from the only one to take the governor to task over her latest coronavirus edicts. Clackamas County Chair-elect Tootie Smith made global headlines after announcing her plans to defy Brown by hosting as many family and friends as possible for Thanksgiving. And a number of Republican elected officials sent a letter to Brown urging her to reconsider, saying churches, restaurants, and gyms make up less than 1% of the recorded COVID cases in Oregon. Quite simply, there are no actual evidence that restaurants, gyms, or churches are driving COVID in our community, the letter said. In fact, because of the adherence to mask wearing and social distancing, these establishments have been some of the safest in the state. A letter signed by Oregon Senate Republicans, including Senator Alan Olson of Canby, was more direct. Governor Brown, your latest freeze is hypocritical. The people who are most likely to suffer from COVID-19, the elderly, have been ignored during the political pandemic, while all other citizens have been forced to endure months of government overreach and watch their normal lives disappear. It's time to end your political posturing at the expense of Oregonians and reopen the state. Oregon has reported more new cases of the novel coronavirus this week than in the first 112 days of the pandemic, and the dizzying rise shows little signs of slowing down. The state set a new daily record 4 days in a row last week, posting 1,225 new cases Thursday and another 1,306 Friday, 1,509 Saturday, and finally 1,517 on Sunday. The Oregon Health Authority also reported 30 new COVID-related deaths in those 4 days, rising the total to 820. COVID-19 hospitalizations are also on a steady rise, with an estimated 412 Oregonians currently in the hospital for the coronavirus. There were 91 COVID-19 patients in the intensive care unit, ICU, beds as of Friday, OHA said. I have heard frequently from those who have refused to believe this pandemic is serious if we aren't seeing hospitalizations and deaths, OHA Director Patrick Allen said. Those hospitalizations and deaths are here, and they are only likely to go up. Allen said local health officials in every part of the state have investigated outbreaks that started with get-togethers that seemed innocent at the time, but led to many people getting sick and in some cases hospitalizations and deaths. This Thanksgiving, cancel any plans you have to celebrate indoors with large groups of family and friends, the OHA director said. The safest, wisest, and most caring way to protect the people you love is to keep your Thanksgiving dinner small and limited to no more than one other household beside your own. Keep the holidays as a time to remember, not a time to regret. Providence is erecting surge tents and has parked morgue trailers outside its two hospitals in Portland as health officials and frontline healthcare workers prepare for the worst. However, Providence medical staff said in a press release they hope Oregonians will do their part to make sure those morgues are never used. "We could really use everybody's help. Just make it a little easier on us," said Jaclyn Center, an associate nurse manager at Providence Medical Center. "Wear your mask, stay away from people if you can, and that'll just give us a little bit of room to keep doing the work that we need to do." In a sign of light at the end of the tunnel, OHA also reported this week on a request for emergency use authorization filled by Pfizer and BioNTech for their new COVID-19 vaccine, which laboratories suggest is at least 90% effective in preventing new infections. OHA does not know how many doses of these vaccines will be immediately available in Oregon, but expects a limited supply. People who are most at risk will have first access to the vaccine. In Oregon, that will be frontline healthcare workers who are exposed to the virus in their work. "The good news comes with a reality check," the state health authority said. "Vaccination gives us hope that the pandemic will end, but in the meantime, we need to continue safety measures to keep the virus from spreading. Wear a mask, physically distance from others, wash your hands, avoid gatherings, and stay home when you're sick." After announcing new coronavirus measures that specifically exempted youth sports, the Oregon Health Authority altered course before releasing more specific guidelines last week that prohibited all indoor competition, practice, and conditioning, including weight training. Competition, training, and conditioning is still allowed for outdoor sports as long as they forego any full contact activities and follow the other athletic guidelines from OHA. The sudden about-face frustrated some student athletes and parents who said they were caught off guard. "The last-minute change sent parents scrambling for answers and solutions," said a November 18th press release from ED300, a statewide coalition of parents pushing for safe return to in-person learning by January. The closure of indoor recreational facilities, along with the continued shuttering of most schools across the state, leaves few options for exercise and safe social interaction as we face the darkest, rainiest, and coldest part of the year, said Renee Gonzalez, spokesman for the ED300 and opening PDX schools. "We are leaving children with almost no safe outlets," Gonzalez said. "This is dangerous for our older children and damaging for all children at a time when they are otherwise deprived of most in-person school-related contact activities. For many kids, school-sponsored athletic activities are their only outlet for physical exertion and stress release," according to Jennifer Dale, a Clackamas County mother of three, including daughter with special needs. Many parents, including essential workers, rely on sports and youth activities as a source of care for their children while attending to work, Dale said. Indoor sports facilities and gyms have worked throughout the summer to adopt safety measures that include distancing and mask requirements, the group said, reducing occupancy, improving ventilation systems, and developing strict protocols to keep patrons safe and healthy. There is little evidence that athletic events or the uses of indoor recreational facilities are hotspots for coronavirus spread, according to Rick Dyer, spokesman for the grassroots group Let Them Play. These activities have been taking place in our state using all safety and hygiene protocols and under the strict supervision of coaches and school personnel for several months, he said. They have been taking place on a full contact basis nearly nationwide for even longer. Data has shown that very little viral transmission occurs during gameplay of any kind in any of these venues. Likewise, the risk of serious illness affecting young, healthy teens appears to be extremely small. While the prolonged lockdown could have unintended impacts on children, the parents say. We have got to do better, Dale said. We owe it to our children to do better. Their total health, mental and physical, needs to be prioritized. These measures may force kids into unsafe and uncontrolled environments because all the structured and controlled ones are closed. Wilson Construction Company has reinstated its practice of buying company-wide lunches from local restaurants each week in an effort to support eateries that have been forced to close their dining rooms amid an unprecedented surge in COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations. During the first shutdown, Wilson ordered dozens of lunches from a rotating menu of local restaurants every day of the work week, always picking up the tab. The Wild Hare Saloon, Backstop Bar and Grill, Wayward Sandwiches, and Ebner's Custom Meats were just few of the eateries that benefited. Company President Don Wilson said they have to cut the practice back to 3 days a week in this current shutdown, joking that otherwise he would also have to soon spring for staff-wide gym memberships. The truth is, the practice has had a huge positive impact on the staff morale, Wilson tells the Canby Current. Everybody appreciated it very much, he says. Generally, it lifts everybody's spirits to be able to help their community as well as have a warm lunch. He leaves it up to the staff to pick the restaurants each week. The Wild Hare Saloon was the first of selections, providing delivery lunches for Wilson's Canby, Aurora, and Woodburn-based staff members last Friday. The hare has long been a favorite of Wilson employees, one of their most popular menu items. Scott's Quesadillas is named after the company's fleet operator, Scott Carr. It's so amazing, owner Joan Monin tells The Current. We're so grateful for the support of our community and the incredible generosity of people like Don Wilson. To Wilson, it only makes sense to support local restaurants that have been so severely impacted by the coronavirus shutdowns, while his business has been relatively unaffected, at least economically. Many of their office staff are able to work from home, while the large garages allow ample room for mechanics and technicians to maintain a safe distance from each other. Something like this, you know, it attracts good employees, people who want to support the community, he said, and it makes the community stronger and better. The restaurants and their wait staff, those are the people who have really suffered. We feel fortunate to be in a position where we're working. Wilson is no stranger to abiding by the phrase, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. In September, he also lent his blessing to employees who asked to borrow company equipment to help fight raging wildfires in Molalla area near their own homes and neighborhoods. Wilson says he plans to continue to practice as long as the freeze is in effect, which will be at least 2 to 4 weeks, according to the governor's statements, though many expect it to last much longer. Thanks to the generosity of the Canby Rotary Club, 100 local students will soon be the proud owners of their very own desks, designed and custom built by Rotary members to help ease some of the strain of learning at a distance. We just thought that they could really use some dedicated space to be able to do their schoolwork, says Ray Keaton, the club's president-elect and also the director of the Canby Center, which is assisting in the project. Right now, students are oftentimes working from the kitchen table or their bunk bed or anywhere they can find to do their schoolwork. Canby Rotarian Rod Harris developed the design for a simple, compact, and sturdy desk that can be easily moved and assembled, and invited small groups of club members to his wood shop over the course of a month to produce them. Every piece was hand-cut by a Rotarian, says current club president Teresa Sassy. It's absolutely phenomenal. I'm very proud of our club. The desks include a smooth composite writing surface and storage bins loaded with school supplies, courtesy of the Canby Center. Club members worked with Canby School District administrators and counselors to help identify those students who might benefit the most from an upgrade to their home classroom. One of the nice parts about this is these desks can be used no matter what mode of school we're in, Keen notes. Even once we're back in school, they can be used for homework. Keen estimated the cost of the 100 desks at $3,000, primarily the purchase of raw materials. All labor was donated by volunteers. The outreach has been so successful that other Rotary clubs have reached out to Canby for their designs and instructions, which the local group was only too happy to provide. Distribution of the desks will take place early next month at the Canby Center.
B14068N7040.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
Well, I was trying to win this direct link pattern bingo game. That Hallmark gift basket is as good as mine.
Direct link bingo game?
You bet. Our local internet provider is hosting a virtual bingo game to show appreciation for their members. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, super cool. Who does that?
Direct link does. They miss seeing their members during these difficult times and wanted to offer a fun way to stay engaged and win some sweet prizes.
They really do work hard to embody that cooperative spirit, don't they?
Well, October is Cooperative Month, and DirectLink is a cooperative that was started back in 1904 by local farmers, so bingo kind of makes sense. They are one of roughly 260 remaining communications co-ops in the U.S. who provide connections over 40% of the land so that more than 50 million rural Americans have the technology that they need to thrive.
Well, that's pretty unique. So how does bingo work?
DirectLink members were mailed a bingo card at the beginning of September. Simply visit directlink.coop/bingo or DirectLink Facebook page every weekday to get that day's bingo number and cross it off your card. They're playing four different simultaneous games, with the blackout prize being a four-pack of tickets to a 2021 Mariners game.
Okay, wow. Get out of my way. I gotta go get my card right now.
Good luck, you know, on everything except that Hallmark basket, because, like I said, that's mine. Joining us on Now Hear This Canby Again is Mike Schmader. He's a member of the local chapter of the Knights of Columbus and the longtime chairman of the annual Crab Dinner and Charity Auction. Welcome back, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Tyler. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, absolutely. You said you're trying to stay dry out there.
Yes, that's true. It's pretty blustery. It's winter is here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, like many of our events, there's some changes in store for the Crab Feed, which is just one of my favorite events. I'm so glad you guys didn't cancel it.
Yes, we're pretty happy to be able to work in conjunction with the Clackamas County Fairgrounds and still able to host a drive-through event anyway.
Yeah.
So we're really upbeat about it.
Yeah, so it will be different. As you mentioned, it's going to be drive-through style. Can you tell us a little bit about how that will work, or are you still working out those details?
Well, it's still a work in progress, since we've kind of got to teach some old dogs some new tricks in this regard. But it's going to be still the same day, the first Saturday in February, which was the 6th, I believe, this coming February.
Yep.
And what we're doing is we're selling tickets online, and we have a website that, I'm sorry, I don't have that web page in front of me right now that I could read it off to you, but if you go into Canby KC Charities on the internet and do a Google search, you should be able to link you to our website. But But the event is going to be a drive-through, hands-free, contactless, I guess they call it nowadays.
Right.
Dinner. And so you'll go online, you'll purchase your ticket, and you'll pick a time zone to when you'd like to come pick it up. We have a 3 time zones, starting at 4:30 and ending at 7:30.
Okay.
And you just pick out what time you'd like. It's an hour window. And when you drive up, we'll verify who you are, and we'll verify your order, and we'll assemble it real quick and hand it to you. We're trying to expedite the process and do some dry runs to figure out what our timeline is as far as food transfer and packaging, all that. That stuff we're figuring out right now.
Yeah.
And then you can be on your way. It's going to be at the fairgrounds, and like I said, you won't even need to get out of your car.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we will share that link for listeners of the podcast. If you check the show notes and on our website, we'll have that as well. Mike, obviously, you know, it's sad to lose the, you know, just the time to be together, just for, you know, obviously just temporarily during COVID. Because that's one thing that's so special about the event. It's just kind of being together, sharing crab, sharing utensils for the people who forgot to bring their crackers and stuff like that. But, you know, the main thing is that this raises a lot of money for our community, and that's really what it comes down to, and why it's important to still do it in this format, as, you know, the current mandates require.
Yeah, that's correct. We really thought about it, at, you know, when this all came down back in February and March, but we had to start making some tough decisions on how can we keep the crab dinner alive. And this is really with the restrictions we have, and unknown of what the restrictions may be by February, but we're hoping and praying that we'll be able to pull this off. But this is what we wanted to do. We wanted to keep this event still fresh in Canby, the community's mind, and a lot of people can really support. There's also on our webpage, there's a way to donate to a family as our special appeal. A family that lost, it's a woman and her 5 kids. They lost their home in the Sandy Am River fires.
Oh, wow.
And they lost everything. Yeah, they lost everything. And it's really a sad deal. So we're doing a fundraiser for them to help them out. And also we still have our raffle tickets like we always do. We have 3 great prizes. So there's a lot going on. Unfortunately, it's just going to be a lot of online stuff. And like you said, that the event at the fairgrounds truly was, I think, one of the highlights of the community in the sense of bringing people together.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, it's such a fun event, and we're hoping and praying that following year, which would be 2022, we'll be able to have it back in the pavilion, Mana Pavilion there, and welcome all our friends back and party like no tomorrow.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, this one that's going to be drive-through style is the 24th annual, which would make the next one the 25th.
Yeah, so that's going to have some pretty good significance to it if we, you know, can celebrate putting this COVID thing behind us, celebrate our 25th anniversary, and just really open things up to the way we're accustomed to having it, and getting people back in the building, and just really solidifying that sense of community.
And mow down on some crab while we're at it.
Oh, well, yeah, that's kind of the main thing there, is everybody has a great meal, and by then we'll have some great auction items and get back into the swing of things. But this year we're excited to be able to still provide a crab dinner for folks that they can take home and enjoy at their leisure, and just keep it alive. Keep the flame flickering.
Yeah. I do believe, Mike, or at least in years past, you're probably doing it again this year, that there will be some non-seafood or maybe even non-meat options for folks that either have dietary restrictions or allergies or just don't love the seafood.
Yeah, for folks that don't, I mean, and you'd be surprised how many folks don't either allergic to crab or don't eat crab.
Yeah.
We have a great chicken cordon bleu, and for those that don't eat meat at all, we have salad options as well.
Okay.
So we have a Caesar salad, we have a coleslaw salad, and then we also have the typical rice pilaf, both standard rice pilaf and then kind of a Spanish flavored rice pilaf, and then our rolls that we get from Fir Point Farms out there is
they're
second to none.
Absolutely, they're like all natural grains that they do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So obviously the event is not till February. You guys are doing online sales now to make your orders, right? And obviously there's probably some changes just logistically to how many people you can have in the kitchen to cook stuff up and when you can have them and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's correct. Currently, we are limited to 10 people in the kitchen for preparation.
Okay.
And we're hoping that number holds. We think that we can do it with six to eight people.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a few people outside that are going to be running the bags of food out to the cars, and then we're going to have some other folks that are going to be traffic control, you know, kind of keeping a nice flow of traffic. They'll come in the main gate there where the fairground, you know, all the carnival rides used to set up there. I say used to, hopefully it happens again next year.
Right.
But they'll come in there, they'll get the food down by the Clackamas building, which is like the third building down from the main pavilion.
Okay.
And then they will circle around and head back out around the backside, over heading towards the fairground or the rodeo grounds, and then they'll just head back out to the main street. We have a really good flow, and Lori with the Clackamas County Fairgrounds is going to provide us a lot of delineation, and we'll have guys in vests with flashlights. It's going to be, we're going to try to look as professional as we can for a first time doing it.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen the Knights of Columbus not all looking professional, so.
I appreciate that.
You guys are always teed out, so.
Yeah, we work hard at it.
Thank you for it. Because we do dig into history on this show from time to time, so thank you for reminding us of that ancient history way back in 2019 when we had carnival rides out at the fairgrounds.
I'm very optimistic that we'll get there again. It's just
I am too.
patience and understanding, and we'll get there. Just something we'll all get through.
Yeah. Well, speaking of history, Mike, why don't you remind us of the history of this event? It's been at the fairgrounds for some time, I believe, but started just at St. Patrick's. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We started this crab dinner in our gymnasium at the church at St. Patrick's there on 9th Street. And back then we just thought, well, let's have a crab dinner and invite the parishioners and see what we would get. I might be off of, you know, plus or minus 10 folks, but we were right around 75 to 85 people.
Yeah.
And it was a great event. We had maybe five or six auction items, and we auctioned those things off, and we did it in the gymnasium there for probably four or five years. And then one of our members said, hey, you know, why don't we take this to another level, and let's see if we can do it at the fairgrounds and really open this thing up. And once we did that, it just morphed into the event that we know of today. And it was fantastic, and the community really, really came out and accepted and supported us in a great way. And we were able to, like I said, raise a lot of money for needy charities, both local and statewide. And it's just been great. I mean, we cannot complain one bit.
Yeah.
About the support the city has given us.
Am I misremembering, Mike? I thought that it started initially, or maybe it was just the idea of there was going to be like a spaghetti, more like a traditional church potluck, and then somebody had the crazy idea to do crab. Is that right?
Yeah, that was it, because we'd done, you know, spaghetti dinners and turkey dinners and things like that. But one of the members, you know, kind of just said, hey, why don't we do a crab dinner? And everybody looked at each other. And, you know, at the time, I never even heard of any crab dinners around. So
yeah,
we said, yeah, let's try that. Or, you know, we all kind of agreed to it. And then once that happened, there was such a great response to it that it was kind of a no-brainer. That's the direction we're going. And then it took off, and we just started building and building and trying to get better and better. And it's just a blessing to be able to have something like that for the community.
Yeah. The cool thing about this event, there are a lot of, auctions. Oh my gosh. In normal years anyway, there's so many auctions and candy.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of dinners and fundraising events and whatnot. But a lot of times it's, you know, for one thing or maybe two things, you know, this dinner raises, you guys pull a list, but it's like a dozen or more local charities and things that it goes toward. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, we have a pretty good charitable base that we support, and it feels so good to be able to give money to these organizations that really, they really are doing the work that we might not physically be able to do, but we can financially support them.
Yeah.
And a lot of these charities, they really, you know, donations are what their base budget is yeah. founded on. So,
yeah.
so we are just excited to be able to help them in any way. Now, of course, this year, you know, due to the fact that we can't have our auctions, both silent and the oral auction, which bring in a majority of the money for these charities, but we were able to kind of split our budget from what we made last year to give half of it this year and half of it next year so that okay. we can continue giving support to these charities, although it might be reduced, but it's still some support.
Yeah, yeah. Can you name a few of the charities that this goes to?
Oh, you bet. Well, one of the big ones is the Oregon Food Bank, and there's a Canby Food Bank here in Canby at the St. Patrick's Church. It's through
Vincent
DePaul.
Yeah,
yeah, and they support so many needy families with food and foodstuffs that they might not otherwise have. So
yeah.
they're one of our primary sponsors. We also have the Canby Pregnancy Care Center.
And yep.
They are a phenomenal organization that helps young girls that are going through pregnancy that might, you know, they might be, you know, underaged and inexperienced with what they really need to do. And, they, you know, the center provides all kinds of support from diapers to classes, birthing classes and parenting classes. So we give to them. We also give to Canby Share the Warmth program,
yeah,
which is a great organization. We also give to, let's see, we give to a couple organizations. One is the Father Taft Home
yeah.
for, you know, unwed mothers. We also give to the Father Bernard Center for Youth. We also provide some funding for, well, when we had the Canby High School overnight party, we provide money for that. I mean, there's just a pretty long list of charities that a lot of people don't realize how much need is really out there. And so we've been giving to a lot of these for, you know, for 20 plus years.
Right.
And we love the connection and the relationship we have with them. And it's just what we need to do. We need to help them because they're helping folks that just really can't get over that hump and it just supplies support for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask if you're, you know, if you guys had looked at changing up the mix a little bit with the obviously greater need that a lot of people are having during the pandemic. But I, you know, you're refreshing my memory, but I think you already kind of hit all the main boxes that you would want to hit with people that are economically disadvantaged from job loss or what have you, or obviously that are, you know, maybe now more food insecure than they otherwise
yeah.
would be. So I think that you already have a good mix to handle a lot of that.
Yeah. And the Oregon Food Bank is just, I mean, it's an amazing group of people that donate their time and their efforts to provide for so many needy families in our community. And it's just an honor to be able to help them in any way we can.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So there is no auction. You mentioned that the main fundraiser
right.
fundraising piece of this event is going to be just buying tickets for your meal.
That and a raffle. We also we're
okay.
having a on raffle. We have a raffle. We're selling raffle tickets, and there's
okay.
three prizes. Yeah, we have the 3-minute shopping spree at Thriftway.
Oh, cool.
Which we've had thanks to Frank Cutsforth. We've been very fortunate to have that every year. And then we also have a guided fishing trip, hopefully this fall or winter. And we also have a home security system.
Yeah.
So there's three great prizes, and the tickets are $10 a piece. And yeah, that's probably, you know, the dinner costs, we had to lower the cost down to $35 simply because we don't have the expenses like we had when we had it in the pavilion. So we lowered, we're able to lower the prices, which helps folks that might not otherwise have been able to attend. And we have this raffle, and so that's pretty much all we can do for fundraising. And of course, we take any donation that people would be generous enough to make.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mike, if you won that 3-minute shopping spree in Cuts Force, where are you headed?
Well, you know, looking at the, you know, kind of the big picture, if it was me, I personally would be going through the canned items that can keep longer.
Oh, you're doing this smart.
Yeah, I mean, things that can keep like that. You know, I love pasta. I love, you know, bread. But things like that, I don't know. I think I would defer to my wife because if, you know, if she looked in the cart and saw nothing but peanut M&Ms and right, things like that, I might get in trouble. But you know, I don't know. That would be a tough one.
Yeah.
But, if I was to ever do that, because there'd be some serious soul searching on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, because I'm headed straight for the wine, you know, section via the coffee aisle. Deli real quick to grab a rack of ribs, and then I'm just spending my 3 minutes up and down the wine aisles.
So. Yeah, no kidding. Give me a Merlot or a Pinot and I'm good to go.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Mike, for coming on. We will put that link out, as we said. Is there a deadline for getting those orders in?
Well, you know, we have to order the crab ahead of time. So I would say probably the last week of January is about the deadline, simply because we have to have a number to give to the supplier.
Okay.
And so, you know, I would say that last week of January is about it.
Okay. Okay, great. And, you know, I mean, the one silver lining, I guess, here is that, you actually could potentially, if people get their orders in, serve a lot more people than you would normally be able to inside the fairgrounds dining hall.
Exactly. That's why we're trying to make this as absolutely user-friendly as possible.
Yeah.
We have a great team that did a fantastic job on our website that has great links if you want to learn more about the Knights of Columbus. Yeah, great links about that and the ease at which to get these tickets and donate to the family that's, you know, lost everything in the fires. So they did a great job. I just really applaud them, and hopefully it resonates well with the community.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Mike Schmader, thanks again for coming on the show, and take care of yourself.
Okay, Tyler. Thank you for the opportunity, and you have a great day.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with 3 realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police Beat for October 6th through October 19th. October 6th at 4:10 p.m. report of a theft from a residential outbuilding. I don't know what an outbuilding is. If it's an outhouse, I hope that the thief got what he deserved. Just a bunch of poop. On October 7th at 9:36 p.m., response to a single vehicle traffic crash. The driver of the vehicle was arrested for DUI alcohol. On October 9th at 10:35 p.m., a speeding driver was stopped and arrested for DUI alcohol. On October 10th at 11:45 a.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped and the driver was arrested for possession of methamphetamine. They're stepping it up now. At 9:58 p.m., a pedestrian was stopped and arrested on an outstanding Cambie Municipal Court warrants issued for her failure to appear for court on charges of criminal trespassing and reckless burning and theft. On October 11th at 2:51 a.m., response to an active pursuit traveling towards Cambie from a neighboring city. At 5 p.m., response to a report of a possible arson near a school building. On October 12th at 8:39 p.m., a suspended driver with an outstanding misdemeanor warrant was stopped. The driver was subsequently cited and released, and her mother was called to the location to take possession of the vehicle. On October 14th at 1:15 p.m., report of hit and run damage to a parked vehicle. I mean, what did it do? Why does it deserve this? Why do we hate parked vehicles? Oh, it happened days earlier. Never mind. It's totally fine. On October 15th at 12:08 a.m., response to a report of several individuals littering in an alley. Come on, man. One of the suspects was arrested on an outstanding warrant. You know what? I think that arresting people for littering is justified. I mean, in this day and age, it's justified. At 9:54 p.m., three individuals driving a stolen vehicle were arrested following a pursuit, which ended when the vehicle drove into a ditch. Charges include unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, stealing, identity theft, some more stealing, theft of mail, and possession of methamphetamine. Because if you're just going to go out and joyride, why not have illegal drugs on you? On October 16th at 3:02 p.m., report of theft from an unlocked vehicle parked at a residence. 4:39 p.m., report of theft by deception after a victim purchased gift cards at the direction of an unknown individual posing as a representative of a credit card company. Don't do that. Don't buy into that. On October 17th at 11:26 a.m., report of theft of items from an unlocked vehicle on 13th Circle. Then on Oak Street at 12:40 p.m., report of theft of items from an unlocked vehicle. At 3:29 p.m., driver arrested for DUI alcohol. And at 10:42 p.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped and the passenger was arrested for felon in possession of a restricted weapon. On October 18th at 10:05 a.m., report of vandalism to a parked vehicle overnight. Because darn those parked vehicles staying in our town. At 11:06, report of vandalism to a homeowner's fence. And at 2:28, report of theft from a hardware store. As well, at 6 p.m., response to a report of vehicle swerving into oncoming traffic. The driver was subsequently arrested for DUI alcohol. On October 19th, we have 12:31 a.m. Following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested on an outstanding Marion County warrant. A passenger was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, and a reported runaway juvenile was taken into protective custody. Finally, at 4:07 p.m., report of a hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. Just ending the week so well. Well, I'm Tyler Kloss, and I'm going to get out of the studio and go protect my parked vehicle before somebody hits it in the parking lot. Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now.
Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby in Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This, Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This, Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.